It's good to be here this afternoon. It's good to see that most everybody has stayed around. One of my church folks told Wednesday that I was the last preacher. He said, "Oh, I guess you'll be staying around then. Since you're the last preacher, you have to stay around to the end." I don't think I've ever left this conference early yet, but I do have to leave them sometimes early, especially when they're down south and I got to travel long distances. It's a blessing that you all have stayed around to the end.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm sure we're going to be covering some very familiar territory, very familiar truths. Bear with us. Stay with us. May God bless us together with the word that He has for us at this time. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read verse 1 through 6. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of God, instructs and encourages the church folk at Ephesus to walk worthy of their vocation, to walk worthy of their calling, to walk in lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, to walk in forbearance. He calls them, I believe, to let folks see Jesus in them. And we have heard preaching already in this conference about people seeing Jesus in us. And they need to see Christ in us. And walking worthy of our calling really is about people seeing Jesus in us.
Yes, right.
It's a high calling. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say you're a child of God, because we're children of God by faith. We're children of God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called to walk worthy. Let others see Jesus in us, in our conduct, in our behavior, in our walk, and in our talk. Verse number 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk worthy of your vocation. And then in verse number 3, to the church members at Ephesus, endeavor. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're to labor. We're to work. We're to never cease to put forth effort to maintain the unity in the church where the Lord has placed us. Never let down your guard. Never rest on your laurels. Endeavor. Continue to endeavor. Labor. Work. Always maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the church where the Lord has privileged you to be a member. Then he says in verse number 4, there is one body. The one body that he's talking about is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he writes to the church at Ephesus, he is calling the members of that church to walk worthy of their vocation. He's calling them to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit, because there is one body. They were to understand that they were members, they were part of one body. That is true of everybody here who is a member of a true New Testament Baptist church. You are a member, you are a part of one body. And I transliterate, or I give my understanding to this passage of Scripture this way. Act like Christians by maintaining the unity of the Spirit because we are one body. He's saying that to everyone here who is a member of a true New Testament Baptist church. Act like a Christian. That includes and that involves endeavoring to maintain the unity in the church where you are a member, because as a member of one of the Lord's churches, you are a part of one body. That's not a universal body. That's not a body that includes all the saved. That's a local, called out assembly that we're talking about. Wherever you're a member of one of the Lord's churches, understand and draw in your thinking to apply our thoughts, to apply the things the Lord has given us today to you and to the church where you're a member. Faith Missionary Baptist Church meets in this place. But Faith Missionary Baptist Church is a group of people. It's a called out number of folks. And they are not several churches, they're one church. They're not several bodies, they're one body. And that is true wherever you're a member today. The Lord has saved you, brought you to scriptural baptism, added to you to a New Testament Baptist church, then understand all that we're about to say in light of the fact that where you're a member, your church is one body. So let us act like Christians. Let our light so shine before men. Let us act like Christians by maintaining the unity of the church because we are one body. It's because we're one, we're to strive to maintain that unity. God has made His churches one. He's brought many together and made His local assemblies. And they're to strive to always maintain that unity because they're one. We have one Spirit. We have one God. We have one Lord. We have one faith. We have one baptism. We have one hope. All of this passage of Scripture has to do with a local New Testament church and the fact that it is one body. And members of that body should strive to let Christ shine through them. And members of that one body should endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Because after all, in our churches, we are one body. Now, down in verse number 12, as he talks about, again, the church at Ephesus in the context of these thoughts are the local assembly, after telling us that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have these offices in our churches for the perfecting of the saints, plural. But we have these offices for the edifying of the body, singular. Because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is one body. It's made up of many, but it's one body, as is true and represented amongst all the churches that are represented here this afternoon. Back in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, well, let's jump in here with verse number 20, speaking about what God has done in the Lord's church concerning Christ, what God has done for Christ and the benefit of that upon the church here. which he wrought, verse 20, in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is what God has done for his Son. He has exalted his Son, given him authority over all. We just heard about Christ is God. And we see here Christ's elevation to honor. He's over all things, all powers, all mights and dominions. His name is above every name. No name should come before the name of Christ. But look at verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, the feet of Christ, and gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church. But look at verse 23. Which is his body. Christ has been risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, and is over all and is the head of all, also the head of the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the local church is his body. This is a truth that I think many Baptists are very shallow on, understanding the fact that the church where the Lord has placed us, if it's a true New Testament church, is the body of Christ. You, as a member of one of the Lord's churches, you are a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ in that place is one. And you are a member of Christ's body. That's why it's so important that they see Christ in us. Because we, who are saved and have been given the privilege and the blessing of being a church member and being a church member in a sound church, we are a part of the body of Christ. The church is not a body that the Lord owns or that belongs to him. The church is his body. It's beyond my comprehension. I can't say that I understand it. But Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio is the body of Christ. Yes. And I am a member of the body of Christ there at Wauseon, Ohio. Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Traverse City is also the body of Christ. And you who are members, you're a part of the body of Christ. And that is true throughout all the churches represented here. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. The body of Christ. We see also over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, very similarly, context is pretty much the same. Lord is writing through the Apostle Paul by inspiration to a local assembly, the church at Colossae, speaking concerning Christ and all that Christ is and all that God has done in and through Christ. We heard our brother read this just a little while ago, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, by Jesus, by Christ. What the context is telling us, what the Word of God is telling us here. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. What's the body? Who's the body? What body is he talking about? He's writing to the church at Colossae. He's writing to that assembly. And he's telling the church at Colossae that Christ is the head of the body, and that church there is the body of Christ. That's why the standards can't be high enough. in our New Testament Baptist churches. That's why our godliness and our striving for holiness can only have Christ as our example. And striving to please God as our goal. We're living in a day and time where everybody wants to compromise. They want to water down the standards. They want to soften the yes and the no's of Christianity. That's bad. Because the church is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there must be the highest standards. Because they need to see Christ in us. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in any local particular place, is the body of Christ. And He is the head of the body, the church. Not universal. Not national. But local. Called out assembly. He is the head of the body, the local assembly, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He is the head of the church, and the church is His body. You're a part of the body of Christ if you're a member of a New Testament Baptist church. We talk about seeing Christ, seeing Jesus as individuals. People need to see Jesus in us. We need to walk worthy of our vocation. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. People need to see Jesus in us. But now you and I, who are blessed to be saved, scripturally baptized, and a member of a true church, we have a double blessing, a double portion of grace, a double responsibility. Because we're saved, He gave Himself for us, we ought to walk worthy of that. He called us in His time. But then He placed us in the church, and the church is what? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. I just can't get over that thought. I am a part of the body of Christ in my membership of the church where the Lord has placed me. And I tell my folks every once in a while that I'm pastor, but that's just a title. I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio. And as a member of Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, which is the body of Christ, I am a part that make up that body of Christ in that particular location. Now go to 1 Corinthians. I told you this is a lot of familiar ground. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Excuse me, chapter 12. We need to act like Christians, walk worthy of our calling, do so by maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because in our churches we are one body. Church is the body of Christ. Each local New Testament assembly is the body of Christ in that place. Let's be reminded here in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body, we're still talking about the local church, still talking about the body of Christ as we're considering it this afternoon. For as the body is one, there's one body, not several. Faith Missionary Baptist Church is one body. One body is what we're talking about as far as the Lord's church and churches are concerned. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. New Testament Baptist Church is one, but it is made up of many members. That is so driven home in this passage of Scripture. We're constantly reminded in this text that a local church is one body, but that one body is made up of many members. You look up here, I'm one person. If you're seeing more than one person, you've got some problems today. You need to see a doctor. I'm just one person. But my body is made up of many, many parts. And that's what he's trying to show us about a church. The church is one body. You look at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, you're to see one body. It's the body of Christ. But this one body is made up of several members, as is all of our churches represented here. The body is one, but has many members. All the members of that one body, though there many are one body, so also is Christ, so also is the church. For by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized, water baptized into one body. It's the way the Lord adds to the local church. Profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, scriptural baptism, and through salvation, scriptural baptism, the Lord brings people together and makes one church, one body out of them. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members plural, every one of them plural, in the body singular, in the local church as it has pleased Him. The Lord is the one in the business of building His churches. It is the Lord who saves. It is the Lord that brings to scriptural baptism. It is the Lord that reveals truth. It is the Lord that grafts several into one. In a New Testament Baptist church. And I want you to think about seeing Jesus in the assembly. Seeing Jesus in the assembly. We have heard much about Christ. We can't hear enough about Christ. We have heard about being like Christ, letting others see Jesus in us. Well, consider the fact that New Testament Baptist churches are called out believers, are several called out and made into one. And when those folks are called out and made into one, I believe we need to see Christ in the assembly. Because the assembly, the many that are brought to be one, is what? The body of Christ. Should we not expect to see Jesus in the body of Jesus? Should the calling together of a New Testament Baptist church and the coming together of a New Testament Baptist church, when the many are called together as one and we assemble, should there not be an emphasis on Jesus? Not individuals, not members, not our likes, our dislikes. What is it? Colossians we just read? That He is the head of the church. God has made Him the head of the church. So that in the church, Christ should have the preeminence. The preeminence. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine forth Jesus Christ. People ought to see Jesus Christ in our church. The assembling of the saved that the Lord has made a church out of, that assembling should be a body in which we see Jesus Christ. We have so much emphasis on self, so much emphasis on me in our culture. And we have to admit that that's found in the Lord's churches also. But the emphasis isn't about self. The emphasis isn't about me. The emphasis isn't about you. The emphasis isn't about this one or that one. When the Lord brings a group of people together and makes a church out of them, it's supposed to be all about Jesus. And in that assembling of those saints, it's Christ we're supposed to see. Seeing Jesus in the assembly, we are the body of Christ. So I think we ought to be able to have Christ found when we're looked at.
Amen.
Our singing, our praying, our preaching, our worship, our fellowship, our missions, our outreach. We need to see Jesus in the assembly. So many familiar verses. Matthew 16:18, Jesus, during his personal ministry, started his kind of assembly. His kind of assembly. And that kind of assembly is still alive and well on the earth today. And that kind of assembly is represented by several here today.
Amen.
And he said, I will build my kind of assembly, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Has he succeeded? Yes, he has. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in danger. That kind of church will be here when he comes. He's promised that the gates of hell, the gates of death, would not prevail against his kind of assembly. Because the assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ is the body of Christ. And in a church, which is the body of Christ, God takes several, makes one out of them, and that one is the body of Christ. And that assembly should put forth the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Ephesians 1 told us the church is his body. Colossians 1 told us that he should have the preeminence in all things. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together, I always feel compelled to stop and just point out, that's not just any two or three.
Amen.
That's not just anywhere two or three people want to get together and throw the name Jesus around. We're talking about a church.
Amen.
Where two or three are gathered in his name is speaking of where two or three are gathered together with the authority and under the authority and under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I.
Amen.
In the midst. When our churches come together, Christ is already there. And we come and gather around him, and he's in our midst. But he's not only in our midst. The assembly is the body of Christ. Our assembly should reflect Christ. I think it was last night, Ephesians 3:21 was read. Unto God be glory. Well, where is God glorified? Where on earth can God be found to be given glory in the world today? You ask the average person, the last thing they're going to come up with is a local, little local New Testament Baptist church.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, it's in the little local New Testament Baptist church where God is glorified.
Right.
How can that be? Read the book. Unto God be glory in the church. What is a church? It is a called out assembly. It is a local, visible assembly of believers. And when that assembly comes together, God is glorified. Because that's all through and by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He gave himself. He shed his blood for her. He started her during his personal ministry, sent her forth and blessed her with multiplication, and kept her through all the generations to this time. And God is glorified when our little New Testament Baptist churches meet in their particular places, because our little churches are the body of Christ. And we ought to see Jesus in our assembly and in our assemblies and in our churches. Unto God be glory. Revelation 1, we get a glimpse. We're not going to turn there. We get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. I'd like to see somebody paint that picture of Jesus Christ, Brother Clark. Not that long-haired hippie Jesus. But you read the description of Christ in the book of Revelation. It's beyond comprehension. And he couldn't be drawn. But where is he? Revelation 1, 2, 3. He's in the midst.
Amen.
Of his churches.
Yes.
In the midst of his assemblies. So I want us to see how that in the assembly is where we ought to see Jesus. And if our churches and our assemblies are the right kind of churches and assemblies, we'll see Jesus in our assemblies. I want you to go now to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another. Let's consider one another as Christians. Let's consider one another in the church, in the body of Christ. Let's provoke one another into love and good works. We don't have a problem provoking. The problem is usually we're provoking people the wrong direction. There is a good direction to provoke one another in. Our churches, when our churches come together, we ought to be provokers. We ought to be provoking one another unto love and good works. And that leads to this, I believe, command. This very plain instruction in verse number 25. Let us consider one another. Let us provoke one another unto love and good pleasure. Let us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's act like Christians. Let others see Christ in us as Christians. Let others see Christ in us by our endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because we're all members of one body. Church where I'm at, I'm a member. Where you are, you know, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Seeing Christ in the assembly, we have an instruction here not to forsake the assembly. Now, granted, there's many people who have their names on Baptist church rolls who aren't saved. I just put it out there because I've seen church members saved. I've seen church members live like you know they're not saved. And eventually that becomes known. Not all church members are saved. Not all people who have their name on a church roll are saved. I want to grant that right at the offset. But if you are truly saved, and if you are a member of a sound New Testament Baptist church, you need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, we need to leave here with a greater understanding that as members of a Baptist church, we are members of the body of Christ. And that's one body. So if we're truly saved, and if we're a part of one body, the church where the Lord has placed us, it's important that we see Jesus in our assembly. So what effect does not assembling have? If you're truly saved, and if you're one of those the Lord has added to a true church, what effect does seeing Christ in the assembly have if you're not there? If I'm not there, if we're truly saved and if we're truly a part of a true New Testament Baptist church and we break this instructions and we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and folks, it is a greater problem today, I believe, than it's ever been during my lifetime. I've been in the ministry 38 years, and I can remember preaching Hebrews 10, 25 and thinking, will there ever come a time when we won't have to preach this anymore? Will there ever come a time when we'll get better at this? Will there ever come a time when God's people will be overwhelmingly faithful? And I found, no, we haven't grown towards that time. We've actually seemingly gone away from that. We're living in one of the most mobile times that I can recall in all of my life in the ministry. God's people are always going, and they're always going away, and they're always going from the assembly of the Lord's church. Where they say the Lord has saved them, where they say the Lord has placed them, where they say the Lord has made them a part of one body, where they say the Lord has made them a part of the assembly, they're forsaking that assembly. And if they're forsaking that assembly, can Jesus be seen? Or what effect does that have upon Jesus being seen? Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake the complete assembling of the assembly. That's literally what it's saying. The church is an assembly. So let us not forsake the complete assembling, the coming together of the assembly. If the local church is the body of Christ and it's one, and he is seen and is intended to be seen in the assembling, then I've got to believe that the best operation of a church, the best pleasing of the Lord that a church can do, is when all of those who the Lord has placed there are there. This idea, well, I didn't go to church last Sunday, but I was there in spirit. No, you weren't. If you didn't go to church last Sunday, you weren't there. The only way you can benefit the church where the Lord has placed you is by your being true to your vows, your covenants, and your promises. The pledge of your baptism. We're living in the day and time where I won't make it general. I'll make it very specific. We're living in a day and time where I think the average Baptist doesn't think it's a sin to miss church. And unless you're truly sick and truly providential, laying out of church and being negligent in your church attendance is a sin. Right. Hebrews 10:25 makes that irrefutably true. But James chapter 4, I think it is, or James, let me check my notes, make sure I got my quote right here. James 4. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What is it? Sin. S-I-N. A person who is saved, who's been added to a true New Testament Baptist church, who has been seen or has been shown the truth of the Lord's church and been taught some things, they know where they ought to be on Sunday. They know where they ought to be on Wednesday night. So if they know where they ought to be on Sunday, the Lord's Day, remember, and they know where they ought to be on Wednesday, and they're everywhere else other than there, is that not make it sin? Much quiet in here. But folks, this is what preachers used to preach all the time years ago. And this is what churches used to believe years ago. But because we have become so mobile, we don't preach this much anymore. We don't believe this much anymore. But if the Lord has saved my soul, placed me in a true New Testament Baptist church, brought me into that espousal relationship with Christ, made me a part of the body of Christ, my not being there is sin. And I like to qualify a couple things. First of all, sickness. If you're sick and kept from church, okay, let's say that's not sin. But I want to qualify by asking you, does that same feeling, well, I just didn't feel like going to church. Did that same feeling keep you from work Monday morning? Did that same feeling keep you from church Wednesday morning? That feeling that came over you that, oh, you just couldn't go to church Wednesday night. Did it keep you from work Wednesday? Did it keep you from work come Thursday morning? If we're going to say we're just too sick to go to church, I believe it ought to be something that's so serious it would keep us from doing other things. And if it's not serious enough to keep us from the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world and our having the toys of this world, then, folks, we ought to be in church.
That's right. Amen.
We ought to be faithful to the house of the Lord. What effect does missing church, what effect does neglecting the assembly of the body of Christ, where the assembly should show forth Christ, what effect does missing church have upon worship, the worship of Christ? Here's a shocker. It might come as a shock. You may disagree with me. Preacher too might argue with me. The greatest thing a church does is worship the Lord. It brings honor and glory to the Lord. You probably thought I might say missions. Missions, I believe, come second. The church exists to worship the Lord. The church is the place where the Lord has put his name. The church is the place where he calls his people out. The church is the place where he says, worship me, sing, pray. The church is where he brings his people together to worship him as they did in and around the temple in the Old Testament. The greatest work of a church is bringing honor and glory to the Lord, worshiping him. So if the church is one body, if the church is the body of Christ, and if our assembling should show forth Christ, what effect does our not being there have upon worship? You know, God is sovereign, and God is great, and God is omnipotent. God doesn't need anything. And yet, Jesus said in John 4, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said, the Father seeks true worshipers to worship him. Does God seek anything? Well, Jesus said he does. And I believe the only place you're going to be able to worship him pleasingly, acceptably, is in a church. You can't worship him acceptably under the tree with your line in the water. At the cabin, or at the ball game, or watching the kids do this or do that. The worship of the Lord requires the coming together of the Lord's churches, people. God's people aren't there. That's got to have, if, again, they're one of a truly added one, it's got to affect worship. What effect does missing church have upon blessings? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a promise there. Seek ye first, put him first. The Lord's day is the first day of the week. Church comes together on the Lord's day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Where's the promise? And all these things will be added unto you. Most Christians have it backwards. We're seeking the things instead of seeking the Lord and seeking the kingdom of God. We're seeking after the things of this world. Consequently, we don't have them. If we put him first, be faithful and true to him, his assembly, he's promised to give us the things of this earth that we need. What we need, not necessarily what we want. I know churches. They're struggling. They're down to just handfuls of people. And they're struggling and they're down to handfuls of people. And you can't get the people of that handful of people to be faithful. How in the world do they expect God to bless them? You want things to get better in that situation, that environment? It's going to take some faithfulness.
Amen.
It's going to take some faithfulness. What effect does missing church have upon prayer and the power of prayer? Last spring, in the last year, studying through 2 Chronicles, I was impressed upon by the Lord how important the temple was to the prayer life of Israel. They were to seek the Lord through the temple. They were to pray towards the temple. Their prayers were to be directed towards the temple because that's where the power and the Spirit of the Lord was. And Solomon asked God, when the temple was finished, he asked God, God, please hear the prayers of your people that are offered towards this place. Well, much of what we see about the temple, they're not the same, but much of what we see about the temple we can apply to a local church. And the local church is where the Lord has put his name. The local church is where God's people meet to worship. The local church is where we gather together to pray. What effect does missing church, forsaking the assembling, not fully letting Christ be seen in the assembly, what effect does that have upon our prayer life? How often do we see churches coming together, 100% participation, nobody missing, coming together to pray over something? Some crisis comes up and God's people are going to have prayer. Do you not almost always find somebody not able to be there, somebody too busy, somebody has something else going on? What effect does forsaking the assembly have upon prayer? What effect does missing church have upon revival? I don't believe there's ever going to be a national revival. It's my opinion. I believe God's done with us. But he's still a God who can revive. And there's still the hope and there's still a promise of our churches being able to experience revival. But what effect does missing church have upon revival in our churches? Are we going to experience revival when God's people won't be faithful to the Lord? Are we going to experience God pouring out His Spirit upon our churches when the members of that church can't even make it, won't even show up, can't be there for prayer, can't be there to seek God, can't be there to confess? Are we going to have much revival? I don't think so. So I'm talking about things that I'm seeing. I'm talking about things that I can give you case-by-case examples of. I've seen churches down to 14 or 15 people. Going to have revival. Seeking revival. And during the course of those services, there's always that handful, don't even show up. Throughout the course of the service, the services, much absenteeism. Are you ever going to find revival? The church is the body of Christ. We're one body. And the church is not just all about Christ, but when the church assembles together, the church is the body of Christ. And you and I, as members of various churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're members that make up these bodies. Can we see Jesus in our coming together? Can we see Jesus in our churches? Can we see Jesus in our assemblies? So important. Amen. Folks, time's out. It's not running out, it's out. Most of you here have it in your mind, well, next month, this one or that one's going to be the next president. You have no assurance of that. I started over a year ago saying, this might be the last time we come together. Might be the last time we have this privilege. Might be the last time we have this freedom. Might be the last time we see each other. These are not the days for us to be quitting. These are not the days for us to be falling by the wayside. These are not the days for us in our particular areas, in our particular churches, to be too busy for the assembling of the saints. We've got to stop justifying missing church. We've got to stop justifying, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We've got to stop coming up with excuses why we're not in church. We need to be there and we need to show up. Every service, we ought to be just that radical, just that crazy. To be known as the one who's in church every Sunday. To be known as the one who's in church every Wednesday night. To be the one who tells their children nothing interferes with, nothing comes before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together. We've got to understand more than ever before in these last days that the church where the Lord has placed us is the body of Christ. We're one body. And when the assembly comes together, Jesus should be seen. And if we're not there, we're not helping, we're not aiding Christ being seen. I tell people, God doesn't begrudge any of us a vacation. I mean, if you got a vacation plan and once or twice a year you're going to be out of the area where your church is, I don't believe God begrudges us of that. But folks, there's only 52 Lord's days in a calendar year. We need to evaluate the percentage. We need to evaluate how often in those 52 times we're not even showing up. And understand that that's sin when it's in excess. And we really ought to plan our lives. Here's a shock. We ought to plan our lives around the church. And faithfulness to that church. God's people can be retired and God's people can have all the time in the world. And when do you think they're going to leave on a trip? Saturday morning. Or even sometimes Sunday morning. Got all the time in the world. Why don't they leave Monday? Or why don't they get back on Saturday? Those who are blessed to be in that position. Folks, this is what I've believed all of my ministry. This is what I can remember being taught and hearing great preachers preach during the days of my youth. The church is the greatest privilege. Being a member of one of the Lord's churches is the greatest privilege after salvation God gives us.
Amen, brother.
And oh, how precious that ought to be to us. To be a church member means we're a part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We're part of the assembly, and the assembly should show forth Christ. And our lives and our faithfulness ought to show forth Christ. I tell you, we need a revival in our churches just of commitment to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to be a blessing to Christ being seen in our assembly and not be a distraction.
Amen. Let's stand.